night, ladies and gentlemen. What's put up indeed? And already we're off to a good start. I hope you guys are already at 14. All right, good. I'm in the right place. That's awesome. Way to start off Wednesday. All right. Let me take attendance real fast. Let's see who's here. And then I'll tell you a little bit about what the heck you got yourself into for the next 8 weeks. Okay. Well, hi, guys.
Hi.
It's nice to see you. I don't remember if I talked to this group during orientation or not. I don't think so. Okay. Then this is the first time for everybody. My name is Eric Braun. I'm a radio instructor here at Specs. I work mostly afternoons and evenings, which is why you probably haven't run into me yet. But that will change, obviously, for the next 8 weeks. Let me give you a little short bio, since we've never met before. Let me tell you what I'm all about. I have a degree in telecom from Eastern Michigan University. Also, I'm a graduate of this program. I was in RDS 1 2000. When I graduated from Eastern, my very first job was as a board op at WEMU, which is a fantastic local jazz station. I say local, meaning Ypsilanti, but it's still an awesome jazz station if you like jazz, real jazz. Those cats know what they're doing. You should give them a look. That was my first gig, which meant I got to get up every morning at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And come on in and run the board for the news. And nothing will crystallize your perceptions at 4 o'clock in the morning than having to hit a clock on time, because the guys up on the satellite, National Public Radio, don't care if you're late or not. They're going to go when they're going to go. I know do they still tell you guys in Tech TV that the 6 o'clock news starts at 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the same kind of thing with network radio. Trying to fit into satellite programming is not easy. And it really gave me a whole new respect for how time works, if that makes any sense. Anyway, that was my first gig. Did that for about 6 months, and then I went a little nuts and moved to Ireland for 6 months. I was there on an exchange program. It was really cool. This was back in 1996. And it was kind of amazing. Came back home, and in the time that I had been overseas, things changed in the radio industry quite a bit. This is, like I say, back in 1996, so things are different now. But in 1996, a lot of regulations got loosened, and so companies from all over the country could start buying up different radio stations. The rule used to be that you couldn't own over a certain percentage of the radio stations in your market, and the markets were strictly controlled. Well, in 1996, all bets were off. They said, you know what? You can own whatever you want. You can run whatever you want. If you can make the business model work, who are we to stop you? And on paper, made a lot of sense. But what nobody was counting on was that a bunch of companies, and one in particular, a billboard company out of Florida that you might have heard of, now called Live Nation, at one point was called Clear Channel. And they came out of nowhere in Florida and bought up literally thousands of radio stations, and then started to run them. Like a giant mega corporation. And, you know, nothing against that business model. It works. But to say it changed the industry is not an understatement. It absolutely changed the way things work and the way that you, as a radio professional, could expect to go to work every day. It used to be that you, like I say, worked for a small company that was regional, or maybe even really super local. Like maybe it didn't even broadcast out of your town. But now, your odds of working for a multi-state corporation went way, way up. In fact, there are some markets across the country where there are literally three choices. If you're going to work in radio in San Diego, you're going to work for one of five people, one of five companies. If you're going to work for radio in Chicago, your odds go up a little bit. But still, it changed the way everything worked. And what that meant for me was a bunch of my friends who I went to school with and some contacts that I had all were scattered all over the country. Some of them got out of the business entirely. So I get back into the country, and I'm kind of screwed. I'll be honest with you guys. I was like, wow, I don't know what to do. So I got a job as a theater tech at a local high school, which actually is a lot more fun than it sounds. I got to do all the cool backstage stuff. That if you did that in high school, you probably got made fun of, but you had all the fun in the world. And I loved that gig. I did that for a few years, but I wanted to get back into radio. So I did what probably a lot of you guys did, I knew the school was here, I'd seen the ads, I'd heard the radio commercials, but I never gave this place a shot. And so I thought, what am I doing? I'm not doing what I want. I mean, I like what I do, but it's not what I want to do. And so, like I say, just the same way probably that got you in the door downstairs, I walked downstairs and talked to a couple of folks, and I was in RBF 1 2000. So I went through the program, went through the radio concentration, obviously, I worked my tail off, and I got very lucky, and 3 weeks after graduation, I had a gig. Now, I had to go to Sheboygan to get that gig. Anybody know where Sheboygan is? The one in Michigan, I mean? You do?
Yep.
Why, out of curiosity, why do you know where Sheboygan is?
Because parents have a cottage.
Do they? Okay. Yep. For the rest of you, get out your map. Bam.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Way
up north. 5 hours away from everybody I ever knew, heard of, or cared about. So culture shock, to say the least. It's a little different up there. Not bad, just different. And you better like the snow. At least so this year, I guess. But anyway, so went up north, and I actually didn't get the job that I had originally auditioned for. I got a gig as their production guy, which meant I was doing all the commercials in the world. And they threw me a bone, and they put me on weekends on the country station. And all my friends looked at me and said, I'm sorry, you're going to do what? On a what now? I said, yeah, I know. Sounds crazy, but country's where it's at this station, so here I go. That's where the job is, that's where I'm going. Simple as that. Well, true to form, 6 months after I get there, the overnight guy at the Classic Rock station quits. So the PD for the Classic Rock station walks over to my desk one day, and he says, hey, I got a question for you. I said, I'm in. He says, you don't even know what I'm going to ask you yet. I said, yes, I do. Bo's gone. You need somebody in the chair. I'm pretty sure that's me. Okay. Interesting. We'll see how that goes. I don't know if that was what he was going to ask me or not, but that's what he ended up asking me that day. And sure enough, I got that job. So after being there for 6 months, suddenly, I'm on the air on the Classic Rock station overnight. I'm doing weekends on the country station, filling in wherever I can on the other two stations that get run out of that outfit. And I'm still writing and producing commercials for everybody all day long. By the time I left, that company had bought up transmitters north of the Sioux. So we're talking about up into the Upper Peninsula and into Canada now. And so we had a footprint, again, get out your map, that was like this big. Like down to Clare, up into the Sioux, covering all of northern Michigan. And it was really exciting to be at a station that was growing when a lot of stations weren't. It was really an interesting experience. What we tell you about small market radio is absolutely true. You do everything. And I learned more, as much as I learned from it, I learned a lot. As much as I learned more in that 6 months, that first 6 months, than you ever will in school, because you're doing it every day, and it's just plain different. We get as close as we can here, but it's not the same thing. I'll tell you that straight up. There's no substitute for that first job or that first internship or just seeing how it gets done every day. So if you have an opportunity to get your foot in the door, please do it. Was up north for about 4 years doing everything I possibly could, and then decided I needed to kind of retool things and head back down towards civilization. So I started going to school at Central, working on a master's degree. And got a gig at WHNN in Saginaw, which is a fantastic oldie station. Sorry, classic hits. We don't call them oldies anymore. Apparently oldies are bad. So worked in Saginaw for a little while, then got a line on a job at WCFX in Mount Pleasant, which is a nice top 40 station. And there I, again, went from working for a little mom, not little mom and pop, but you know, sort of mid-sized corporation up north, to working for Citadel in Saginaw, which is one of those huge mega corporations, to working for a little mom-and-pop station out of Mount Pleasant, you know, where I know my boss by his first name. So, again, kind of all over the place in terms of who you work for and the job that you get to do. And then after doing that for a couple of years, when I was done with my master's degree, decided to, again, kind of retool and move things downstate. So I moved back into the area, and I did what you're supposed to do. I called Uncle Kernan. In career perspective, you know, in over career services, and I said, "Hey, it's me. I'm back." And he thankfully remembered who I was. He said, "Where you been?" You know, in that goofy Kernan kind of way. And I said, "Well, you know what? I've been at school. I'm working on a master's degree. I thought maybe I'd like to teach. Teach what?" He said. again in that current kind of way. And I said, well, call me crazy, man, but I've been doing radio for a little while. Thought maybe I'd like to give that a shot. And he says, well, if you're serious, get downstairs or get over here. I need somebody downstairs like tomorrow. And I said, are you kidding? Are you offering me a job? Yeah. At Specs? Uh-huh. You want it or not? Sure. Yeah, seriously, yeah, that was the conversation. Do you want it or not? Because quit wasting my... You guys know Kurt.
Yeah.
Quit wasting my time, right? And so I'm like, sure, I'll be in. Why not? And so that was like 7 years ago. So there you go. That's kind of the long version, I guess. It started out being the short version, but it never works out that way. So here's what you guys need to know about me for the next 8 weeks. I am going to try and get you guys to understand and appreciate the world of sales and marketing. And I know, that sounds about as much fun as a roof canal, right? Sales and marketing, oh boy! Here's the thing. You are going to have to sell something sooner or later, whether it ends up being your job or not. You will have to sell something, whether it's a product or something that that your company is doing, or even if it's selling yourself in terms of a job interview, or just making a case for why you should be able to do a job. There is an element of salesmanship involved, and marketing is everywhere. Even if you guys end up being, you know, high-level DJs or performers someplace, you're going to be in on planning meetings about marketing and promotions and how to move the station forward. Good stations will want your input, okay? And to help with those conversations, even if you're an intern, which, by the way, is the best way for you guys to get started. Promotions internships happen all the time. And as you guys are here in the coming weeks, as the weather turns nicer and there's more stuff to do around here on a more consistent basis, there's going to be more and more internship opportunities coming up. So a promotions internship means a lot more than just handing out bumper stickers. That's part of the gig, but we'll talk about what else is going on. So marketing and sales plays a bigger and bigger part in this business, and especially now with things shifting in ways that we don't really even understand, everybody is sort of becoming their own independent contractor. So in a way, you have to be able to market yourself. So as I say, you need to understand how those forces work, and that's really what we're going to talk about for the next 8 weeks, is kind of really break down how promotions and sales work. Coming around now is the syllabus, because I kind of do have to go over the fine print, as much fun as that is, to make sure we all know what we're in for.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. What's up?
Are you familiar with Camp Alderman?
No.
Oh, it's an overnight summer camp in Sheboygan.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. No, I didn't. You know what? I was too obviously too busy working. I didn't even know it was there. Sorry.
Oh,
oh, that, yes. Oh. Clearly, I've answered this question wrong already.
You know who,
we'll
talk
after. Oh, all right.
Well, I don't need to take up everyone's time.
Okay.
Well,
this
is the first time you've ever said that.
Yeah.
Oh. You need some extras? We okay? We got enough? We should have a couple extra floating around.
You haven't noticed, we have a very entertaining class.
I like that. That's good. Actually, that's cool because there's a... Well, that's good. Because directed in the right way, we are going to have a lot of discussions. There's a lot of group work to be done in this class, so that's cool. That's good.
No problem.
All right, let me draw your attention really quickly to the fine print in front of you. This is officially promotions class. It is second quarter. By the way, congratulations. Way to go for making it to second quarter. And this is a big class. Almost everybody made it. That's awesome.
We all did.
Did you all? Good.
It's a game for people.
All right. Sweet. Well, anyway. All right. As I said, my name is Eric Fromm. That's right up there at the top. My contact information is right there as well. Email is by far the best way to get a hold of me. I check my email many times per day. So if you need a response fast, the easiest and the best thing for you to do is to email me. I do check my voicemail every day, but the way things work around here, I don't always get a chance to get back to it as soon as I would like. Email is much faster. So, if you need a response right away, email is the way to go. But do please let me know if you're not going to be in class, so that that way I can make a note not only that you contacted me, but also that I need to get you whatever materials you need to make up whatever you might have missed. And that's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, I know we all miss class for whatever reason, and I know you guys have lives outside of class, and I know that we have things that we all have to take care of on a daily basis. That's fine. But, you know, it is important to keep to sort of keep a handle on what's going on here, because things can get out of control pretty fast. So if you know you're going to be out of class, or even if it happens the day of, even if it's, you know, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or two when you're long past gone, at least give me a call so I know that you knew it was on your mind. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Course description, as I said, you guys are going to be introduced to sales and promotions as it relates to the broadcast industry. We're going to talk about sales basics. That's the second half of the class. Creating a client base, promoting station image and news packages, and all sorts of things that are related to that. The first half of the course is going to talk almost exclusively about promotions and what exactly a promotions team does. And then we'll get into sales really in the second half of the class. The grade scale is right there in front of you. It is the same grade scale that everybody's used since you guys got here. It's just there in black and white so you understand where my math is coming from. Probably the most important thing here on this page is the course grading system, which is the assignments that you need to worry about. There is a homework assignment tonight. Sorry. It'll be due next week. You also have two in-class projects, weeks 10 and 11, so next week and the week after. There's a midterm in week 13, a homework assignment in week 14, and then a final promotion, final package and a final exam in week 16. So quite a bit of stuff, but all of it is important. And if I can give you a little bit of advice, try not to miss weeks 10 and 11 for the in-class things, because frankly the makeups aren't nearly as much fun as the in-class stuff is. Okay? Let's see if there's anything else you need to know. Policy for late work is the same. Assuming you have notified me that you're going to be late, you have up until 5 days to turn in your work for full credit. Otherwise, you need to contact me and arrange something, even if I don't send you an intervention or a student action form. So please try to keep an eye on that. Next page. Attendance, you guys know, is really important. We kind of stress that around here, mostly because attendance is the one thing that we can't do anything about. I can't do anything if you miss too many minutes. It's out of my hands. So try to keep a lid on that. Like I say, I know things come up. I really do understand that you guys have lives outside of school. But you know, if you want to get something out of this, you kind of have to adjust things around. And so all I'm asking again is, if things come up, just let me know. And I'll try to accommodate you as best I can. Okay. Let's see. The course calendar is a week-by-week rundown. And so we are in week 9 right now. We're going over the syllabus as we speak. We'll talk about what a promotions department does, different roles in the stations, and different kinds of terminology that we'll work on. A lot of definitions and stuff today, but I'll try to keep it interesting for you. And then as we go, I'll try to remind you week-by-week of what's coming next. But if I were you, if you get confused or you're not sure what's going to happen from week to week, I stick really close to the syllabus. So if you're ever not sure what's supposed to happen, check the syllabus and this should give you a clue. Okay? Let's see. I think that's it. Everything else is pretty much standard that you've already been exposed, things you've already been exposed to in class. One thing I do want to tell you... assignments in this class, homework assignments, when you turn them in, they are due on hard copy when class starts. Don't hand me a flash drive and say, it's here, or can I email it to you? Because the answer will be no. You need to be prepared. And if that means borrowing a friend's printer or getting to school a little early, then it is what it is. But hard copy is required for the assignments that you turn in. What's up?
I was going to say, like, we was absent, we couldn't email it to you.
No, if you're absent, just turn it in when you come to class. But I still need hard copy for your assignments. And I think that's all we need to know as far as the syllabus goes. Okay, so the official stuff is out of the way. Any questions about any of that? Sweet. Okay, good. All right. So like I said, the first thing we're going to talk about in this class is the idea of a promotion. And that's probably a term that you've heard a lot. Somebody you know may call themselves a promoter. Whether they are or not is another matter entirely. But when I say promotion, what's the first thing you think of? Anybody? What do you think?
Like a boxing promoter.
Okay, you think of like Don King, right? Yeah. Like a boxing promoter, like somebody who's fast-talking, getting the hype up. Okay, what else?
Advertising,
that's part of it, but they're different. We'll get to that today, though. Thank you for bringing that up. What else? Anything? What do you think?
Station merchandise.
Station merchandise, that's part of it. Absolutely. What else?
Making people aware of stuff.
Ah, there it is. Thank you. You have hit on it. Making people aware of stuff. It's just that simple. Let me give you as close to a dictionary definition as I'm going to throw out. Promotions is the act of increasing awareness of something by drawing attention to it. Okay, so there it is, in blue and white. The act of increasing awareness of something by drawing attention to it. Just like you said, making people aware of what you already do. And usually, we do this, what makes a promotion different from a commercial that we talked about, or that somebody brought up, is that promotions involve activities that the public can take part in, usually for free. But we'll come back to that too, because as you might expect, there's a catch. But I'm glad you brought up advertising, because advertising plays a role in why promotions exist. What's the first thing you do when you usually hear a commercial? You turn the channel. You ignore it. You turn it down. You turn it off. You go up and you get up. You get a cup of coffee. Whatever. But, oh, it's a commercial. So your first instinct is to try and ignore it. Or go do something else until it's over. And then maybe you come back. Okay? Makes perfect sense. But that's not enough. That's not good if I run a radio station. Or if I'm a client that wants to reach people on a radio station, or a TV station, or really any sort of media, right? Even, do you have any Pandora listeners in the room?
Yeah.
Wow. Good for you guys. I always get frustrated because I haven't upgraded to like a subscriber fee yet, so I still get ads in my Pandora feed. I'm like, oh, damn it. You know, but it is what it is. I understand. They got to make a living, and so the ads are there. But like you, when that ad comes up, I will get up, I'll go get a cup of coffee, I'll, you know, check on the cats or whatever I'm doing. So, the thing about advertising is, that's an instinct. It's been ingrained in us now to go, oh, it's commercial. I can ignore this. And advertisers to an extent know that. You guys are part of one of the most marketed two generations on the planet. Simple as that. And as a consequence of that, you guys have phenomenal BS detectors. Really phenomenal. You guys know when you're being sold, right? You know when somebody's making a pitch, when somebody's out to make a buck. It's just part of the world we live in, okay? And so you kind of recognize when that's coming, and the walls go up, right? You're like, oh, you're not going to get past me. Not going to work. Unless the picture of that roast beef sandwich is wonderful, and then okay, maybe. And so to get around those natural defenses, that's where promotions comes in. Because here's the way that a radio or TV station, at least in a traditional sense, works. At a commercial station, you've got a bunch of different departments. On one end, you've got the sales department. This is the point of contact for your clients or your advertisers. And whatever you may think of sales right now, hopefully by the end of this course your opinion will change, but whether you like them or not, you need sales. You just do. If you've ever tried to run your own business, or if you've ever helped somebody out, or if you've ever done sales before, you need sales to do what? Anybody?
Make money.
Simple as that. The model that we use for media companies in this country, for the most part, is a commercial model, which means if we don't bring in money through sales, we can't keep the lights on. We go out of business. You can't get paid to do the coolest job ever. I can't keep putting on good programming because you just need sales. There's a catch, though, because sales need something to sell. Doesn't matter how many clients I have, if I don't have some good content to put those ads around. So, along with sales, we also have our friends in programming. Programming means anything that goes on the air. So, any programs that you see, any shows that you listen to, any commercials that you hear or see, those all come through the programming department. Somebody had to put those things together. Okay? So if you're a fan of Drew and Mike, they work in programming. If you like Stone and Bill over on 97.1, they work in programming. Okay? And there's a relationship here because in order to put together the commercials that sales wants, sales and programming have to talk. And that conversation goes, as you can see from the arrows, both ways. I have to talk to sales. Sales has to talk to the client. I have to talk to the client, make sure the spot is right, make sure it's what they want, make sure it's what they want to hear and how they want things to sound. So there's a little back and forth going on. But as we talked about, everybody loves to ignore commercials. Or you may not love to, but you do. Now, since I used to make commercials for a living, I drive my wife crazy because I watch commercials on purpose. I listen to commercials on the radio on purpose because I used to do it for a living. And she's like, oh, God. And then it started to sort of seep into where she pays attention to commercials now, too. And then so I'll get home and she'll hit me for, like, no reason. She'll, like, slug me in the arm. I'm like, what? She's like, I was listening to commercials again today. I didn't used to do that. So, anyway, again, the problem is that most people's gut reaction is to try and ignore commercials. So to get around that, to still get the word out, which is what our service really is to our clients, in addition to making whatever programming we make, the reality is we got to keep our clients happy. It means they got to get money. We got to bring money to them. So in order to get around your sort of natural defenses for ignoring commercials, this is where the promotions department comes in. And the promotions department comes up with contests and activities for the general public to take part in that go over and above the normal commercial activities of the station. So things like ticket giveaways, yeah, if there's a concert coming to town. Or maybe there's a charity food drive or a Coke drive going on. When we have back to school, there's always, a lot of stations do like a fill a bus with school supplies kind of thing. That's a promotion. That's absolutely a form of promotion. And I'm filling in these arrows here because I want you to understand that each of these three departments have to talk to each other. Okay? You need sales because that's where your clients come from. Sales talks to the on-air folks because if we're doing a promotion, 9 times out of 10, it's going to involve some sort of on-air component, if not a person from the air staff, right? Because that's kind of your celebrity. That's kind of your draw. So you need to talk between sales and programming. But programming and promotions have to talk, so we make sure where we have to be, what are we doing, what are we giving away, what are our goals, all those kinds of things. So you need to understand that whether it's in a broadcast setting, whether it's TV or radio or whatever medium hasn't been invented yet, all three of these departments have to work together. Because without one, it's like a stool, right? It's like a three-legged stool. Without one of these things, the entire operation falls apart. If you take programming out of the equation, well, all you got is sales and promotions, but there's nothing to build the sales and promotions around. You take promotions out of the equation, you're really limiting yourself because people are going to ignore half of what you do. Take sales out of the equation, as we previously discussed, you can't keep the lights on, you're out of business. Simple as that. Okay? Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this relationship is going to hold through to everything that we talk about in this class for the next 8 weeks. You're always going to come back to, really, how do these three departments work together for whatever the project or concept that you're discussing might be. It always comes back down to that sort of three-department model. They all talk to each other, and at a good outfit, they all work together, and everybody understands they're in the same boat, and everything's cool. Everybody gets along. Doesn't always work that way.
but you kind of have to make the most of it. Now, you're smiling. Why are you smiling?
Oh, it's just bureaucracies.
Okay, right, there we go. I've worked for my fair. I've worked for salespeople who understood the business, knew what they were doing, and understood this model. I've also worked with salespeople who didn't care what they were selling. Might as well have been shoes. They didn't understand the business, didn't care about understanding the business, just wanted to sell units and go home. Either one of those can work, and you'll meet both kinds. You'll meet people who love this business. You'll meet people who tolerate this business. You never can tell. Now, we talked about what the definition of a promotion is. Let's talk about what the goal of a promotion is, because they're two different things, okay? Promotion is the act of increasing awareness of something by drawing attention to it. So we're getting near tax time. How many of you guys have seen the dude on the corner dressed up like the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
That poor guy, right? He just looks so sad. That's a form of promotion. It really is. We think of promotions as activities or some sort of recorded announcement. Stand by, guys. But a promotion can be anything that you can think of to try and get somebody's attention. And a guy dressed up like an ice cream cone or the Statue of Liberty or whatever fits under that category. So that's a form of promotion. And believe it or not, that guy is getting paid. Now, he's not getting paid enough, in my opinion, but he does get paid to do that. So, if a promotion is bringing attention to something, what's the goal? You don't do anything without having a goal in mind. Sometimes it's not a very complicated goal. Sometimes it's just, I would like to eat. So you get up and you walk out the door. But you still have a goal in mind. In this case, the goal of a promotion is always, always to increase ratings and revenue. Now, ratings we're going to talk about a lot next week. So I don't want to talk about ratings right now, but revenue is money. Again, bringing money in. The goal of a promotion always serves to try and increase ratings and revenue. At least it should. That's your goal. Okay? So promotions that you might have heard of, I heard somebody talk about ticket giveaways, right? How does that ticket giveaway usually happen? What do you think?
You gotta call in and give them some information about
like a
something.
Yeah.
Right, right.
Keep listening to the radio station to find out. Those are two things to do.
Eventually, you gotta listen to the station all day and be the number nine caller.
Right. So usually, and the simplest contest in the world is be caller number nine.
Yeah.
Right. It's nothing more simple than that. The reason, by the way, that form of contest, and that is a form of contest, the reason why that contest gets used so often is because it's almost impossible to screw up. It's really, really hard to get more simple than that. If you want this thing, be caller X. And so, especially now that everybody has a phone in their pocket, you can just call and that's it. And sometimes you have to answer a question. Sometimes you just have to be a lucky number caller. Sometimes you have to come down to the station and do something. You know, it kind of runs the gamut. But that's a very, very basic form of contest. Now, one of the things I want you guys to understand is, how many people have ever won anything from a radio or a TV station? A couple of you. What did you win? Tickets? What about you?
Tickets.
Anybody not win concert tickets? What did you win?
A couple years ago for the Super Bowl, I won Hooters wings.
Oh, okay. All right, from the Rip.
Yeah.
Sweet. There you go.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's better.
Right, there you go. And that's what I'm talking about, activities, right? Because think about, let's talk about that event that you got tickets to, right, a Hooters party for the Super Bowl. You didn't have to pay to get in, right?
No.
No, heck no. You went down to Hooters, you watched the big game, you enjoyed some wings and a beverage or two, I'm guessing. You know, maybe. Right, exactly. To you, that was free, right? You didn't have to pay anything extra. You won the contest, you were caller number five, or whatever it is. What did you have to do, by the way, to qualify for that prize?
Just call in.
Just call in. Simple as that, right? Let's get back to this little four-letter word on the board. My second four-letter word of all time. Second four-letter word that there is. We love to use the word free. You know already. Yes. There is no such thing as free. Except that there kind of is. Let me explain the difference. There's a way that you can tell a promotion very simply. And that is, does it give you something for free? Meaning, do you get something you didn't have before that didn't cost you any coin, any money? Right? Maybe you had to do something a little extra. Maybe you had to provide an email address, or you had to be caller number 5, or you had to answer a trivia question. Right? But if there was no outlay of cash, technically, it's free. Now, that's free to you. Okay? You meaning the public. But now you guys are on the other side of the glass. Okay? What you need to understand is anything that a radio station or a TV station or any sort of media outlet at all, anything that we give away has to come from somewhere. And I know that sounds very simple, kind of basic, but here it is. Those t-shirts that got passed out before the concert had to come from somewhere. They weren't just magically lying around in the closet. We got them probably from a printer here locally in town, and we probably have a relationship with that printer so that he prints up X number of t-shirts per month, and we, you know, give him free advertising. We take it out, and we do what's called taking it out in trade. You know, he may not write us a check this month. Instead, just print us up 500 shirts. Done. Right? Or the bumper stickers had to come from someplace. If we're giving away a car, it had to come from someplace. Probably a dealer who is one of our clients. Okay? And so now you're hopefully starting to see that relationship. Things that you thought were maybe free before technically aren't free. There is a cost involved. Now, it's not a cost to the audience. It's a cost to the radio station. Now, what I mean by cost is there has to be some return. Radio stations and TV stations do not pay for the stuff we give away. Very rarely do we pay for the stuff we give away. Sometimes if we're just straight up giving out cash, that comes from the promotions budget, if your station has a promotions budget. Somebody will say, all right, we have 500 extra bucks this month, let's do a little cash giveaway this week. And it may only be 100 bucks, or we may parlay it into something a little different. But the point is that, again, all those prizes have to come from somewhere, okay? The prizes don't just come out of thin air. Usually, those prizes come from a sponsor. And a sponsor is somebody who you get in touch with through your sales department. Sales is where your clients live and breathe. Well, your clients are your sponsors. So a sponsor is someone who pays for all or part of a show or promotion. So when you listen to the radio this morning coming into school, you might have heard somebody on WWJ or WJR or WRIF or really anywhere saying, this traffic report brought to you by so-and-so, right? That's a sponsorship. Lowe's or Home Depot or maybe a lawyer or somebody like that, whoever sponsored that weather report paid some money to the radio station to have that mention made on the air. Okay? Now, that brings us back to our little four-letter word over here in the corner. Something that seems free but isn't. There's a pretty important concept that you need to figure out with regard to sales and promotions, and that is something that's called added value. Sometimes we flip those things around and people refer to it as value added, but the bottom line is added value is the perception of getting something for nothing. Did you have a question? Okay. So the perception of getting something, again, for free, right? Added value. And added value can take the form of
on-air mentions that are maybe thrown in, or that traffic sponsorship, a salesperson may say, or a promotions person may say, all right, you know what, we'll just throw in that sponsorship for free. We'll throw in that mention during the forecast for free. Now, it's not free. We just aren't going to charge you for it. There's a difference. Okay? But added value is the perception of getting something for nothing. And it's those little things that get added in that make all the difference. And this, again, is where promotions comes back into play. Because clients love the idea of getting something for free, even if they don't. Even if it's not free. One of the reasons why we do promotions is because it makes the client look important. If you're bringing in the radio station because you're doing a giveaway, maybe you're doing a ticket giveaway, and you want people to come to a certain store to register for the prize. Well, that's a gold mine for the client whose store you're at, because the idea is I've got an audience. Okay. This is as basic as your retail model gets. You may be wondering to yourself, other than the fact that you know that a radio station has to bring in money to keep the lights on, why do we work with clients in the first place? There are other ways to get money. We could charge a subscription fee. It works for cable, works for satellite radio, and yet those people still have advertising. Interesting. Why do we have that relationship in the first place? It's the most basic relationship in the world. I'm a client. I'm a business owner. Okay? And no matter what any other business owner ever tells you, there's no such thing as having enough clients. They will never ever tell you, you know what? I don't want to move any more product. I'm fine where we are. I don't need to sell any more this week. I don't know of any business owner other than being out of stock who's ever said, I'm sorry, but I don't want to sell any more. Maybe that you can't sell anymore, that's different, right? So on one hand, here I am, I'm a business owner, I've got stuff. And it doesn't matter what that stuff is. It could be hot wings, it could be tennis shoes, it could be cars, it could be video games, it could be anything. But I've got stuff. Now, the radio or TV station, the media outlet, we've got an audience. That audience loves stuff. Okay, so you get the people who want the stuff to figure out where the stuff is. Now you're seeing where the relationship is. Okay, so on one hand, the reason why a client would work with a radio station in the first place is because they need to move product. So my job as a radio or TV station personality or a manager is to get word out about those products. That's why I sell advertising. Now, I get cash out of the deal. But if we do it right, our client gets to move more stuff so they make more money, right? That's the idea. But like we said, sometimes just doing the commercials is not enough. In fact, commercials are what we call traditional revenue. Okay, every commercial media outlet in this country makes their money by selling advertising. There are some media outlets that don't. If anybody listens to public radio relies on a pledge model where they basically two or three times a year, depending on the station you listen to, they say, okay, we need money. Simple as that. We haven't bugged you for like 6 months. We need money. That works. And because they are technically a nonprofit institution, they are allowed to do that. They're allowed to ask for money directly. Most commercial enterprises can't do that. In exchange for your money, they need to offer you a service. They need to give you something. You know, the guys at Foot Locker can't just say, hey, could you spare a couple of bucks? Because you're going to go, no. Why? Right? But most outfits that you guys end up working for are going to follow this commercial model, which means they sell commercials as traditional revenue. But there's something that's important that you guys need to think about, and that is, this falls under the category of promotion as well, something called, I'm going to put it over here, NTR. And that is, conveniently written in broadcast style, non-traditional revenue. Okay. In order to understand what NTR is, non-traditional revenue, first you got to get a handle on traditional revenue. That's commercial sales. right? So what do you think might non-traditional revenue be? You got to bring in money some other way. How can you do it? Any ideas? I'll give you a hint. Somebody mentioned it earlier today. Somebody over here mentioned selling station merchandise on your website. Selling stuff directly from the station. That's a form of non-traditional revenue. Back in my day, when I was coming up, the coolest thing in the world to have was a Riff t-shirt. It was the single coolest thing you could own. You know why?
Because they had to give it to you.
Because nobody had them. Because you had to go to a Riff show to get one, and you had to be lucky enough that they had some left when you got there. Okay? And so if you had a Riff shirt, ooh, that's exclusivity, man. That's special, right? Because not everybody has one of those. Now, you want a Riff shirt? Log on WRIF.com, buy one for $20. Genius, right? Because that $20 goes directly to Riff. There is no distribution model. They don't have a store. They have very little overhead when it comes to the t-shirts. But they make extra money in addition to the commercials. They make extra money by selling their own stuff. That's a form of non-traditional revenue. It's just another revenue stream. Now, a few years ago when I started teaching this course, we used to count the internet as a non-traditional revenue stream. That's long over. The internet is part of our delivery system. We do deliver an over-the-air product, radio and TV both. And increasingly, we also deliver an online product that is nearly identical, if not absolutely identical, to our broadcast product. The brilliant thing about using the internet is, if you are streaming a station, and I'm listening to you from Alaska, you can sell that ad time again. You don't have to run the same ads on the internet that you do on regular broadcast. In fact, why would you? Most of your advertising is going to be local businesses. So if I'm in Grand Rapids, you know, I'm running ads for local restaurants, I'm running ads for the symphony, I'm running ads for the museum, right? But my online content, many of them may not be able to come to Grand Rapids. So instead, that's where I put my national stuff like Coke and Pepsi and Budweiser and Nike, so that you can get almost anywhere. But that means I get to sell that stream twice. That's like free money. Why wouldn't I do that, right? Let me give you another example of NTR, something called product placement that I think has been talked about in other places, and you're nodding your head.
I took a class in high school about it.
About product placement, about marketing or product placement specifically?
Product placement.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool. Well, then you correct me if I'm wrong on this, but here we go. It used to be that if you were a TV show, and TV show is an easier example because there has to be a visual component for this in order for product placement to work. If you were a TV show, in fact, if you watch reruns of something that's really old like The Brady Bunch or Cosby Show or even Friends, something that's a little more recent, if somebody goes to the refrigerator and picks up a bottle, picks up a soda or a pop, it'll say soda, right, on the bottle. Or if somebody goes and gets a box of cereal, it'll say cereal. It may kind of look like a cornflakes box, but it's not a real cornflakes box. It's not a real Fruit Loops box. It's not a real Coke bottle. There's a reason for that, because the idea back in the day was, if you want to use my product, you got to pay me for it. That's my product. I own that trademark. You can't use it without paying me for the privilege. Okay, that's the old school model. Well, somewhere about 10, 15 years ago, things kind of flipped around. Because advertisers began to realize, wait a minute, why aren't we working with these people? Why aren't we putting our stuff in their shows or finding a way to put our stuff in their shows? We're asking them for money. That's silly. This is like this could potentially be a 30-minute commercial. Right? So that's why on shows like 24, there's a reason why Jack Bauer drives around in a Dodge all day. Okay? There's a reason why for example, on Deadliest Catch, everybody's drinking from Dunkin' Donuts coffee cups. It's because Dunkin' Donuts said, yes, we will sponsor your show, in exchange for which you will make sure to put a Dunkin' Donuts cup somewhere in your shot. Or, the best example ever, American Idol. Maybe not the best example ever, but one of them. American Idol. Every week you watch that show, and somebody has to remind Randy to turn his cup so that you can see the Coke swirl. It's actually a Coke ribbon. But somebody has to remind Randy to turn the cup so you can see it, because Coke has paid a lot of money to make sure that they get mentioned or at least seen every week. And the reason why this is effective is two things. Number one, it's more realistic to have somebody walk over to a vending machine and get a Dr. Pepper, right, or get a Pepsi or get whatever out of the fridge, than it is to have them just get a generic can, because it kind of takes you out of the moment, right? Something in your brain kind of twigs and goes, that's not real. I can't get one of those because that's a fake thing. So it makes more sense from a creator standpoint to have your show be as realistic as possible, right? As realistic as it can be. And from an advertiser point of view, hey, that's free advertising. And it's better than a commercial because it's harder to ignore. Because in many cases, you don't even realize it's there until it's too late, right? Until it's already done. I'm already drinking out of the can. And then you don't go, oh, he's drinking a Coke bottle. He's drinking out of a Coke can. He's drinking a Pepsi bottle, right? It works more effectively because it gets around those natural inclinations to ignore advertising. And product placement is a form of non-traditional revenue. There are companies now whose job it is to figure out product placement contracts. And you negotiate those things. How many times will this bottle be seen? From which angles will this bottle be seen? Who will interact with the bottle? Right? That's somebody's job. Didn't used to be a job up until about 10, 15 years ago. Crazy, but it's true. And let me give you the best possible example of product placement in recent years. How many of you guys have seen one of, if not all three, of the Transformers movies? Yeah. Most of them? Many of them? I have.
Well,
right? Yes!
Yeah.
That is a product placement dream come true. I can just imagine what that phone call was like. Because if you watch those movies, especially in the second and third movies, there's a reason why all the good guy cars are Chevys. Every single one of them is a GM car. Right? And I can just imagine that you know, word gets out that this movie's finally going to get made. And I'm sure that they were thinking, or the production company's probably thinking, oh God, we got to get a bunch of cars, and then we got to model them, and then we got to do this, and we got to do that. And then the phone rings, and it's General Motors. Hi, listen, I understand you guys are making a movie about robots that turn into cars. Yeah. Listen, we make cars. Is there a way, maybe, that you could have your robots turn into our cars? Because we got a bunch out back. And we'll be happy to bring them to the lot. And if you make us look good, we're happy. So have all the free cars you want, as long as you make us look really cool, because robots are awesome.
So do they pay them, or do they give them free cars?
That's a great question.
They give them free cars.
This gets back to one of the other key things about promotions. I'm willing to bet that there was some sort of reciprocal agreement. They probably had to put up a little bit of money. I'm sure they did donate some vehicles for filming, but they probably got a share of revenue as well out of the movie. Because if GM's got good lawyers, and they do, then they probably said, well, listen, we'll give you the cars, we'll maybe even put up a little bit of cash, but in exchange for that, if this movie makes over X, we want a cut of X. Right? And believe me, especially the first one, absolutely made over X. So it was a good investment for GM, absolutely. Now, people ask me sometimes, wait a minute, you're talking about doing all this stuff for free. Isn't there an expense involved? You know, I have to go down to the bar to do the wings night, or I'm paying, as a client, I'm paying extra to have this promotion done. I'm paying, maybe an extra $1,000 or $2,000 for this promotion. Aren't I losing money? Or if I give away a car, if I give the radio station a car to give away, aren't I losing money? Because I could have sold that car. Well, yes, technically you could have. You might have sold that car. But here's the thing. You generate more interest. and more publicity that turns into more potential sales from giving that car away and having the radio station or the TV station talk about it for 2 months for free, right, than you would have by just selling one extra car. So even though it seems like a loss at first, I'll grant you, common sense says no. I hang onto that car, I sell that car, that's direct profit. Yes, you're right. But if instead you enter into a marketing partnership, which is what a promotion is, to try and figure out a way to get people interested in that car, then what have you done? You've made more people aware of your dealership in the first place, which is all you really want. All you're asking for is the potential to move product. And that's what promotion is all about. Remember, it's about increasing ratings and revenue. Ratings for you, revenue for your client, and for you as well, because more ratings equals more money. And we'll talk about that next week. What's up?
I was going to say, when that first happened, when they were promoting Transformers, there was a lot of cross-promotion, too.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of car commercials, and then in the end, they would finish it up with, hey, see Transformers.
Uh-huh, you bet. In fact, the biggest cross-promotion there is the fact that the 2010 Camaro exists. Back in 2005, maybe 2007, they rolled out the 2010 Camaro at the auto show and said, isn't this awesome? Isn't this great? And people lost their minds. Like, if you're a car guy, the 2010 Camaro was the coolest thing you ever saw. Because we haven't seen a good muscle car out of Detroit in a long time. And so everybody was like, wow, that's a really cool looking car. That's pretty awesome. And so the question was, hey, how do I get one of those? Oh, you can't.
Plastic car.
I can't? What do you mean I can't? You showed me this cool car and I can't have it? Oh, this is a concept car. We're not actually going to make it. Really? Well, you turn around, you take a car that you weren't going to make, put it in a movie that everybody sees multiple times all over the world, and now all of a sudden what's happening? The Camaro is one of the best-selling GM cars in about 10 years. And it's a car they weren't going to make in the first place. And in no small part, I believe, to its part in Transformers the movie, because the Camaro is Bumblebee and Bumblebee's awesome. Right? There's a relationship there. You cannot, I defy anybody who works at General Motors to tell me that sales of the Camaro were not helped by its inclusion in Transformers. That relationship absolutely exists. Now, it may be the little tiny shove you needed to go ahead and buy one, right? But that car exists because of that movie. It wasn't going to exist otherwise, not to the general public. And now you can buy one. So that's just a small piece of the power of product placement. All right, I tell you what, we need to take a little break. I can go on for a little bit more. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys a minute to come back and ask 12 questions and wrap this up.